Reporter Natalio Cossoy speaking with us from Buenos Aires, where the G20 is getting underway. And if it's the G20, you know riot police are probably standing by with tear gas. Protests have become a common part of the G20 show, with hope no tear gas will fly in Buenos Aires like it did earlier this week at the U.S.-Mexico border. That's where U.S. border agents used tear gas against Central American migrants. Some of them were children. President Trump has said Border Patrol agents had to do it.
They had to use because they were being rushed by some very tough people, and they used tear gas. And here's the bottom line. Nobody's coming into our country unless they come in legally. Go ahead.
That was a high-profile incident. But the past decade has seen rising use of tear gas all around the world. And as Jen Kinney reports, this chemical often crosses borders as part of the growing trade in non-lethal weapons.
For me, the first time I ever had smelled tear gas was on the first day of the uprising on the 25th of January 2011.
Nour Nour was 20 years old when the Egyptian uprising took hold in Cairo's Tahrir Square. He was out protesting every day for months. He'd been at political demonstrations before, but the number of people in the streets and the regular use of tear gas, that was new.
At the beginning, it was almost greeted with a curiosity. Will this gas really make you cry? And then a few seconds later, after you realize that I thought it was called tear gas. I had no idea it was called choke you to death and run around blindly gas.
Nour says he would try to pick up tear gas canisters that security forces lobbed at protesters and throw them away from the crowds.
Tear gas canisters, they kind of looked like soda cans from a distance. Silver, round. I remember seeing that some of the gas was made in the United Kingdom, some of the gas was made in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly.
When we got tear gas, one time was really bad. They came and they wanted to evacuate the area.
Terry Burns lives on a small country road in Jamestown, Pennsylvania, population 617. Just a half mile behind her home, where she sells homegrown vegetables and lawn ornaments, is a munitions plant. Combined Systems, Inc. manufactures and tests what are called non-lethal weapons. Tear gas, smoke bombs, crowd control devices. She recalls one day there was an accident at the plant, and tear gas leaked onto her property.
It was a cloud, smoke coming our way. You could tell it was something so unusual. It's something dangerous, if that's what you want to say. I didn't know what to do.
Accidental tear gas releases like that one have been rare in Jamestown, but locals say you can hear test explosions multiple times a day.
It's just like anything else. People don't want it in their backyards. Is it better for our area? Yeah, probably brings in tax dollars and employment. I mean, you know, I wish it wasn't in our backyard. I wish it was in somebody else's backyard.
In a way, it already is. Combined Systems, Inc. supplied Egypt with tear gas during the revolution, according to Amnesty International, which estimated that the company shipped some 46 tons of tear gas and other chemical irritants. So the gas Nour experienced, some of it probably came from Burns' backyard. Combined Systems, Inc. didn't respond to requests for an interview for this story, but images circulated online of canisters in Cairo bearing CSI's brand name, its address in Jamestown, and the words "Made in the USA."
A pastime activity for some people during these clashes was to pick up these tear gas canisters and read who is the country that has supplied these weapons to try and kill us. So, look, this is American tear gas, or this is British tear gas. Oh no, they're cheap and they're using Chinese tear gas now. They want to kill us.
Non-lethal weapons are a multi-billion-dollar-a-year business and growing. Combined Systems, Inc. is one of the world's leading manufacturers, supplying not just Egypt, but also Israel, Bahrain, Ferguson, Missouri.
Almost everywhere that we see images of large-scale protests, we will also see somewhere on the street a Combined Systems, Inc. product.
Anna Feigenbaum wrote a book on the history of tear gas. It was developed during World War I. Compared to other gases experimented with at the time, like sarin or mustard, tear gas was seen as less effective, and less deadly.
When the war ended, there were all of these chemists and chemical companies that had been enlisted into the war effort. And there was this desire to continue these industries during peacetime. In the U.S., this was marketed as war gases for peacetime use.
Such as riot control. Tear gas doesn't just make your eyes water. It causes a burning sensation, difficulty breathing, chest pain, skin irritation. It can lead to nausea and vomiting, even convulsions. It's considered a chemical weapon. The 1993 Chemical Weapons Convention banned the use of tear gas in war, but many countries, including the U.S., still deploy it against domestic uprisings and unrest. Worldwide, the use of tear gas seems to be on the rise, though it can be difficult to get hard numbers.
The claim by the industry is that this industry is growing, that during 2011, where we had a lot mass kind of global protests, that sales in tear gas actually tripled, that we're continuing to see market growth, particularly in areas where there's kind of ongoing conflict.
That growth has been a boon for Jamestown. Combined Systems, Inc. set up shop there in 1995.
My name is Mike Rowley. I'm Borough Council President for Jamestown, PA.
Until CSI opened up, there weren't many jobs in the area.
We used to have a lumber yard, two lumber yards at one time. There was probably 10 gas stations, two railroad stations in town, tracks going north and south, east and west. All that is gone. So now we have what we have, and there's not much here.
Today, there's some tourism-related businesses because of a nearby state park. There's a mill that makes paint. And then there's CSI, which employs around 230 people.
Something like that was pretty much a godsend for a lot of people. There just isn't, in this immediate area, there's just not the work that there used to be.
Riley says CSI is good for the community. And he says it's important work.
There's a lot of times when they say, like in Israel, when they use their non-lethal bullets and the rubber bullets and their gas and that stuff, most of the time it comes from here. Oh, yeah, and most of the people say, yep, we manufactured that. We put that together. We sent it. There's a little bit of pride involved in that. It being it's non-lethal, that's even better.
Tear gas has been a godsend in the sense that it's truly non-lethal. It's very, very difficult to accidentally kill somebody. It would almost have to be done intentional.
Sid Heal has served over 30 years in the Marine Reserves and the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. He's made it his life's mission to increase non-lethal options for law enforcement and military. And he's helped develop some, like a heat ray that makes a person feel like they've been scalded with hot water. Tear gas isn't his favorite option.
I don't like it. It's got all kinds of problems. It's not an ideal. It's just better than the alternative. One of the things people forget is the fact that the standard is not perfection. The standard is the alternative. And in many cases, the alternative is lethal force.
But protesters have died from tear gas in Egypt, in Bahrain, in Gaza. Some died from asphyxiation when gas was fired in too concentrated a dose in too small a space. And some from the canisters themselves. Noor himself spent days in the hospital after being struck by a canister just above his left eye.
Sometimes the tear gas was actually being fired head on to get people in the head, to get people in the groin. This was a common practice.
Heal says that's a result of using the weapon incorrectly. But Feigenbaum, who wrote the book on tear gas, rejects that.
To say that something which was designed to cause sensory torture and inflict pain that we know has caused a lot of death and that its actual real-world use very much reveals it to be something that can easily be lethal. And even this idea of less lethality, you know, I always say, you know, well, explain to me what a less lethal death is. You know, what does that mean, to die in a less lethal way?
Governments don't track deaths by tear gas, so there's no way of knowing how many people have died from it. In Cairo, hundreds died in other ways, killed by security forces. The uprising ended, the gas dissipated. But even now, Noor says he has conflicted memories of that time.
What I'm about to describe now might sound a bit masochistic, but after a while, sometimes you miss the gas.
Back during the uprising, he took home a canister, sealed it in a bag, and every once in a while he would take the bag out.
and take one or two sniffs from inside the bag just to get the scent of the tear gas into my nose. Life is actually about encountering death regularly.
And he says the smell of tear gas was an instant reminder of that. For The World, I'm Jen Kinney.
A version of that story aired on WESA in Pittsburgh.